Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Dalet, and we're holding at the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Beit. So we have a completely new sugya this morning, and this is a sugya that Richie will particularly enjoy since it involves Tful Yom, and that's one of his favorite sugyas. So let's start right at the last line of the penultimate line, Ki Solik Rav Kahana Ashkechinu Levnei Rabbi Chiya, the Yasvi V'Kahamri. So when Rav Kahana went up to Eretz Yisrael, he finds Rabbi Chiya's, the famous Bnei Rabbi Chiya, and they're sitting and saying over the following thing, that an Isaron Shechelko, let's take a look at the Isaron of a Mincha. It's supposed to obviously be a full Isaron out of which you take the Kometz. In this case, what you did is you split it into two separate Isronot, and then you set them down in the Bisa, in two separate places in the large container, and you left it there without mixing them. And now what happened was that these two pieces are not touching each other, but a Tful Yom touches one of them. Now, Richie will remember, of course, from all of our limudim together in Tful Yom, that we have special dinim when it comes to Tful Yom. A Tful Yom cannot be metame, something to be metame, anything else. And the most that will happen is that he will pasul Kodesh. And this, of course, is Kodesh. We're talking about a mincha. Now, the question is, if a Tful Yom touches one of those half of Esronot, do both of them become tame? Why would both of them possibly become Tameh? You cannot convey Tumah from one thing to another thing if it's been touched by a Tful Yom, because it's only Pasul, and by definition, Pasul means non-communicatable. I'll tell you why. Because the Mishnah in Chagiga actually tells us that there's a special halacha when it comes to Kodesh, and this is one of the things that are listed that applies to Kodesh, doesn't apply to other things. Mi mitzarif mashi betocho lekodesh. So things that are in a single container are considered to be one when it comes to Kodesh. So I want to know, or we want to know, is that only Hanimili Echad Nagi Bahadade? Aval Echad Lo Nagi Bahadade Lo? Is it only that if two things are touching each other, so then the Kli will make them into one entity? But if they're not even touching each other, the Kli is not going to work to make them one thing, such that if a Tful Yom touches one, despite the fact that a Tful Yom cannot be Matami, it can only Pasul, it will be the equivalent of the Tful Yom touching both. So maybe that not. Or maybe this halacha of the Kli being Mitzarev is such a Chumrah that its mocker would actually be, we'll see, there's a question about whether this is a Dioraita or whether this is a Dirabonon, we're going to see later on. In any event, it would only mean that the Kli would make them one if they're already touching. Omar Lahu Iyun, Rav Kahana said, look, the Lashon of the Mishnah does not say that a Kli is Mechaber. It says that a Kli is Mitzaref Mashabetocho. There's a big difference between those two words. Mitzaref means it actually melts it into one thing. Mechaber means that it's connected. That means to say that it would be touching, but not that it's all one. So the very Lashon of the Mishnah implies that they do not need to be touching in order for them to be considered one item. And therefore, Tful Yom who touches one, if they're in the same Kli, is going to be metame, well, I should say pasul, is going to pasul both of them. So now, B'nai Rabbi Chiya asked Rav Kahana another question. And they said to him, okay, let's take the same case. You've got two half esronot, and they're in the same bisa. They're not touching each other. And this Tful Yom touches a third piece that was put between the other two. So now that middle piece doesn't belong there, because you cannot have a mincha that has 1.5 esronot. The minchas esronot are already here in the Kli. So if you added another piece, and the Tful Yom went ahead and he touched the new piece. So what's the din in such a case? Mahu, what would be the halakha over there? So that may be, even if they are touching, maybe. So in that case, perhaps the middle piece would be mitzuref with the other two pieces because of the kli. And Rav Kahana said to them, no, the din of a kli being mitzarif mashe betocho into one thing is only where that thing is supposed to be in the kli. Remember, this is halacha in Kodesh. And remember that the kli Kodesh, we have other dinim, such as the kli is only mitzare, is only mekadesh, what belongs in that kli, and so on. This is true as well. If it's tzorech l'kli, something that actually is meant to be in that kli, such as the actual esronot of the mincha, okay, then the kli actually makes it one. But ein tzorech l'kli, ein kli mitzarfo. And in this case, it would not be affected by the negia of the tfulyom if it doesn't belong there to affect the other things that are in the kli. Well, we've got another question, said B'nai Rabbi Chiya. How about if the Tful Yom puts his finger into the space between the two halves? Now, you said that the kli is mitzaref mashe betocho. How does that work exactly? If the kli would be mitzaref mashe betocho, does that mean that essentially we look at the entire kli as being filled with the tumah in this case? And Tful Yom puts his hand into the airspace. Will that itself be the equivalent of having actually touched each one of these chatzi esronot, since they're all considered to be one virtual particle? What would be the din over there? Amar lohu, Rav Kahana told him, definitely not. Because remember that avir is, and that's essentially what you're asking. You're asking whether tumah can spread through the air in a kli. And we know very well that the din of avir exists in one place and one place only, and that is in the avir of a kli cheres. Since the Torah made that a special halacha of avir kli cheres, therefore, ein lecha davar shemetameh me'aviro, ela kli cheres bilvad. I don't understand why you guys do not realize that this Zoom is completely sentient. Whenever it's got two playmates, it puts them together. Whenever it's got two chavrusas, it puts them together. Now, somebody is doing this, or it's a free agent. Go ahead. Where is Danny when you need him? He can tell us what's going on. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Go play with each other. That's the whole point. Now, Rav Kahana tried a turnabout. Instead of you asking me the questions, how about if I ask you the questions? So now I got some questions for you. Let's see what you can tell me. Ma'oli kmotz mizel zeh. I want to know this, you know? You've got two chatzi esronot. You're telling me that the kli is mitzarif them as if they're one. Okay. How much one are they? I mean, these virtual worlds, you remember that virtual world of the Breslov Rebbe, where they always call up the Rebbe for maftir in the Breslov shuls. And as one smart aleck pointed out, when they call him up for hagba, then I'll believe it. So, so now basically, that's what's going on over here. I mean, you're telling me that this is a virtual single particle. Okay, well, are you ready to allow me to take a kometz from one half Yisaron, and that kometz will be the kometz on the other half Yisaron? And now it's all going to be mincha and it's shirayim. How about that? So mahu likmotz mizeh al zeh. Basically, what I'm asking you is, this din of tziruf. Now, we know that we learn it out in the Gemara. In Chagiga, we learn it out from kaf achat melayah ketoret. How can a kaf be achat if you just say kaf, melayah ketoret? Why do we need it to tell me that when it says kaf, it means a kaf achat? So the Gemara learns out from there that kaf achat makes things achat. That's the point. So whatever is in that kaf is achat. From there, we learned out the din of tziruf kli. Now, the question is whether that type of tziruf kli is really a diraita that's learned from that pasuk, or is that pasuk an esmachta bi'alma, and we're just using it to base the rabbanan halacha on? That's the question. If it's a diraita, I understand it. Even if it's lakula, and you're going to tell me I'm going to be able to be komitz from one chatzi soron on the other, it's exeris hakasuv. But if it's only an esmachta to a takonet rabbanan, which is a mala b'kodesh, then it's not going to help. You can't use a rabbanon to turn things that aren't kosher for the mizbeach into things that are kosher for the mizbeach. So the Bnei Rabbi Chiya told Rav Kahana, well, we haven't actually been taught that halacha. So zon lo shamanu. However, we do have information about another halacha, which is similar and should give you a basis for coming to your own conclusion. Kayotze bo shamanu. We do know that there's a similar case in this strange Masechet called Menachas, which we just happen to have learned at Mishnah. What was the Mishnah, Ditznan? Shtei Menachot Shelo Nikmetzu. That if you've got two different Menachot, and you didn't take the Kometz from either of them, and then they got mixed up, Im Yochol Likmotz Mizo Bifnei Atzma Umizo Bifnei Atzma Ksherot. As long as you've got an area that you could take the kumetz entirely from one mincha, and therefore you don't have foreign matter in either one of these kumatzim, so that's fine. And you'd be able to do that. Now, Im Lav Pesulot. All right, but think about this, say Bnei Rabbi Chiya. Ki Yochol Likmotz Miaksherot. That means as long as you could be kumetz them, they should be kosher. Now, they're assuming, the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, they're assuming that it means that you've got one pile of stuff, which is pure Mincha A, and another pile of stuff that's pure Mincha B, and then a third pile of stuff, which is the mixture of Mincha A and B. And therefore, when they say, if you've got a pile out of which you could take a kometz from each Mincha separately, it's kosher. Now, that, of course, would mean that if they're not attached, you're using Tzir of Kli to take off from the area that was pure Mincha A on Mincha A, despite the fact that the Shirayim of Mincha A are not connected to that piece that you're taking the Kometz from. But how can you do that? That's exactly like our case, in which you have Shnei Esronot, that are Shnei Chatzi Esronot, that are not Mechubar, but they're in the same Kli. Isn't that the same case over here? So am I. Don't we say that Hachdim Arev Halo Naga, the part that you're taking the kometz from, isn't touching the other part? Omar Rava, why do you assume that that's the case? That's not the way I taught the case in the Daf Yomi. Dilma Begushim HaMechulakim HaSuyin K'masreik. Look, imagine a basic shape like a comb, okay? So what do you have over there? So you've got the two sides, if they forget about the separate pins of the comb, you've got the two sides coming down. Now, those sides are connected to the middle piece, right? In the middle piece, they're mixed. The two parts that are coming down off of the comb, each one is 100% pure. The left side is Mincha A, and the right side is Mincha B, and you've got a place where you can take kometz, but there's no place that they're not connected. I beg your pardon. You're the guys who jumped to that conclusion, so we don't have a right. Okay, so what's the truth? What's the bottom line? Bnei Rabbi Chiya couldn't decide, Rav Kahana couldn't decide, my Havilah. Can you actually take a kometz of a part of a mincha of the Yisaron, where it was split into two parts, but it's being connected only through its being part of the inside of the same kli? This is called siruf kli. So a kli mitzarev hagaviru, a kli mitzarev mashe betocho, when it comes to kodesh. How far do we take that? That's the question. Omar Rava Tashma? Well, I do have a raya, I think, from the Braita. The Tanya, the Braita darshens the pasuk that comes to teach us the dinim of Zot Torat HaMincha, veherim mimenu bikumtso, misolat HaMincha umishamna. So when it says mimenu, tell me what you think that that is. I mean, obviously, it would be mimenu, but the word mimenu is telling me that it has to be connected. Min HaMechubar, which teaches me, according to this Braita, do not bring your single Isaron in two separate containers and then do a kmitza with one of them. Now, that means that the only problem is that it's in two separate containers. But what if it would be in one container in the same state as being in two containers? Namely, it's disconnected, but it's in the same single container. Now, the mashmaut of this braita is, well, that would be okay. It's only that it can't be in two containers, right? Okay, so it's mashma, therefore, that if it would be bekli echad, but it would be dumya d'shnei kelim, it would be similar to this situation. Similar in what sense? Similar in the sense that each piece is separate. It's just not separated by a wall of a different container, but it's inside the same container. In that case, it would be no problem at all. And that would be kosher, right? Omer le'Abaye, I mean, it might be right, but not necessarily. I mean, when you're saying shnei kelim, you're assuming that that would have to mean two separate kelim. But let's imagine a case where you were echak kapiza bekaba. Now, the point of a kapiza bekaba, remember, is that a kapiza is 3/4 of a kav. And if you have a kav, and you want to have, actually, a double measuring, one kli that can measure twice, what do? You take a container, you dig out the size of a kapiza in the bottom of the container, and then allow the top of the container to continue up with the missing 1/4, right? So that way you've got yourself a measurement for a kapiza in the bottom part, which is set aside because it's smaller, so it doesn't have the same edges that the top part has. And you've got, if you fill it all the way to the top, you filled both the kapiza and the top part, so now you've got yourself a kav. Now, those are not really two separate kelim, totally, because if you had a case like that, and you put a kapiza in a kava, so then what would happen is that they are in separate kelim, but they're connected on over the top part, right? So if that's the case, if that's the Braita's understanding of shnei kelim, not literally shnei kelim, then what it's telling me is that afagavdi yarev me'iloi, even though these two pieces are connected, so you'd think that that would be the equivalent of being in one clean, that they're not. And that kivan demafsike mechitzata de kapiza mitata, since you have basically another type of kli, you've got the kapiza, which has different outlines to its edges, it's not considered to be in the same kli. But if that's what the meaning is of two kelim, then what would be the implication about the same situation where it's in one kli, similar to two kelim? Well, that would be a case, for instance, kigon eravata sheltanegolim. So it's got, you've got, I hate to say this, but the Gemara's word for airline meals containers is a chicken feeder. Because the way they used to feed the chickens is they had these airline meal containers in which it was separated for parts. There was one part that was good for water, you know, and then there was the other part that was good for the chicken feed, and that way it wouldn't mix. But then you had the entire container with the outside that came over the top, right? Okay. So just imagine the standard airline meal, which is exactly how you feel when you're fed one of those airline meals, which is essentially why you don't even want to eat it unless you're really chicken. And therefore, if you're talking about an eravata shel tarnegolim, so that has these smaller divisions in it, like for water and for food. So over there, and that's the case, where over there you really do have a mechitza, but they're touching on top. So then, yes, you could do the kmitza, but that would be in a case where there is touching. But I'm talking about a case where they're not touching. The lo negia klal. There you still have to tell me what the halacha is. Since it's lo negia klal, tiboilach, your question still stands. Okay. We end up without really having a raya. Let's get some air in here. Next question. In a similar case, where we're using Tziruv Kli, how far are we ready to go on this idea of Tziruv Kli? Is it the equivalent of a standardized tuma, or is it a special din that applies only in a magical world in which in Kodesh, it's as if it's Bechurba? But the moment that you try to extend it beyond that world, it's not going to work. So let me give you an example. Let's imagine that you have to put together two different worlds. You have to put together the tziruf of a kli, in which you have the two separate sections of your mincha. So you've got a chatzi yisaron and another chatzi yisaron. They're not touching, but one of the two chatzi esronot is actually in water, and that water is connected to a third. This sounds like one of the old Ben Franklin lightning experiments, right? So one, the third one is outside of the bisa, and it's got a water connection to one of the two esronot. So let's call them A, B, and C. So you've got A and B disconnected inside of your bisa, and you want to be mechaber them through tziruf kli. And now, which we said, okay, they could be mitzuruf through that. But suppose one of these two now utilizes another conductor of tuma, which would be the water that's touching section B, which is now connected to something external. We'll call that section C. Now, the question is, suppose something like the Tfilah Yom touches the first, the A part, which is not connected to the B and C. So how about that? Will the Tuma go from A to B and also from B to C, or is Tziruv Kli only a magical Gzeres HaKosuv if it's a Diraisa in that section without its ability to affect anything outside? So by Rabbi Yirmiya, let's say you have to put two separate ideas together, Tziruv Kli and Chibur Mayim. So what's the din? So lightning strikes, the Tfilah Yom strikes the first thing, the A. Now the question is, okay, so the B becomes Tamei because it's Tziruv Kli. Will the current flow from B to C through the water? So do we say, Kitnan, Kli is mitzarif mashe betocho lekodesh. That means it's mitzarif inside. As long as you're inside that Kli, then this magic works. But you can't take the magic outside of the Kli. So it's only going to spread from A to B because that's Tziruv Kli. But that doesn't make something part of the real world of normal Chibur of Tuma. Or do we say, look, I mean, there can't be different rules. Either something is mechuber or it's not mechuber. If you're telling me that the Kli is mitzarif, then we know that C and B are basically attached to each other in terms of their tuma connections, so it would have to work. And I'll ask you this. Let's say that you answer me, well, look, I mean, it's got to be the same thing. It's, if it is mechuber, it stays mechuber. So let me ask you about the other direction. How about if the section B of the Yisorin only became Tomei because of its water connection to the piece that was outside of the Kli? How about in that direction? Will whatever touched C now be Metame B, and that would allow B, because it's Tziruv Kli, to be Metame A? Or do we say that Tziruv Kli, Kitnan Kli Mitzarev, that's only where it was touched internally to the Kli. So then if something touches it in the Kli, it's the Kli's Mitzarev as if it touched both. But in this case, nothing Tame entered the Kli. It was only the Chibor to the water that allowed it to become Tame. Or maybe that also. It makes no difference. Wherever the tuma begins, it continues on through all of its varied types of connection, and therefore it starts with the connection of water from C to B, continues the connection of the Kli of Tziruv Kli from B to A. What's the deal? Take also no rayas to these questions today. Another issue that Rava raises about an Isaron that was split. You have an Isaron of a Mincha. Put it into two parts, and part of it becomes tame, and then, so one piece of the two, then you put it into the bisa. So no tuma entered the bisa. So if no tuma entered the bisa, a kli is definitely not mitzarif l'toch mashe betocho to make it tame. That's for sure. The din of kli mitzarif mashe betocho only means that if now you touch betuma, one of the two pieces that is mitzuref in the kli, it's the equivalent of touching both. It doesn't mean that any time you put something into a kli, it becomes one thing. Absolutely not. It only defines what's going to happen to it. So now, for sure, A and B, are sitting in that bisa. Only A was mekabel tuma before it was put into the bisa. B is not going to be affected just by being in the same bisa. There is no such concept of tuma whatsoever through tzir of kli. My question is this. A tful yom comes along, and Richie was asked, what's the din if that tful yom touches A, which was already tame before you put it into the kli? So now you have a new tuma, and that new tuma should affect, in a kli that's being mitzarif A and B, should affect both pieces A and B. Ah, but the question is, if A was already tame, does a further touch of tuma make any difference? Or for all intents and purposes, it was, and here's the language that is the technical language for this situation, or do we say sava le tuma? It's already completely full, and there's no place in it for any impact of the touching of the tvuyom, and therefore, it's as if nothing happened. If the tvuyom would have been able to add some kind of tuma, which of course the tvuyom is the lowest possible level of tuma, and this is one of the reasons why Richie is so enamored of the concept of tvuyom, so, but in reality, tvuyom cannot add any tuma. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, the negiyah of the tvuyom to piece A, which was already tummy before, is absolutely meaningless, and it's as if it never happened. So my question is, mi amrinan, sova lo tuma, do we actually subscribe to this idea? Once something is full of tuma, you can't do anything to it by touching it with something that can't add tuma to it. And therefore, there was no, for all intents and purposes, there was no negiyah of the tvuyom while it was in the kli. Do we say that or not? Omar le Abaye, well, of course not, Rava. We know that we don't hold of sova le tuma. I'll prove it to you from the Mishnah in Kalim that we learned together. Remember the case where you have a sheet that was tomei midras. So let's say a zav had lied down on that sheet. Now that's very chomor. Tuma, right? Because now that sheet becomes an ava tuma to be metame odom v'kelim. So that's like extremely chomer. Tuma's midras. Then you find that you're missing a curtain. So you decide to take that sheet and to hang it up as a curtain over your window. Okay, so now the sheet is no longer a sheet. It's a curtain. Remember that tuma is defined by the utilization of the kli. You can change the yi'ud of a kli, and once it becomes a kli like a curtain, it cannot be mekabel tumas midras, correct? And not only that, in the same way, if you broke a kli that was tame, it would lose the tuma that it has. If you remove the usefulness of this kli for midras, because it's no longer meant for lying on, unless you're in the space station, so in that case, the vilon lost its tumas midras, because it's no longer a kli vis-a-vis midras. So what's the din over there? Indeed, the Mishnah said, it becomes tahar from the midras, because it's no longer roi for sitting on, but it still is tamei because it touched midras. Now this apparently means it touched itself. So it can't be less being something and then losing that status than simply touching something that still has that status, right? So if it was in touch with itself, now this is rather a modern terminology, which of course is all based on the Mishnah and Kalim. What you see in all of these ads, are you truly in touch with yourself, is a function of Meseches Kalim. So now the question is, if this vilon is actually in touch with itself, then it's going to be tamei bemaga midras, because it touched itself. And therefore, it's not able to be metame adam v'kelim, because it's not really midras. But something that touches midras becomes a rishon letumah, and it can be metame erchler numashkin. So therefore, it's no longer going to be metame adam v'kelim, but it will be metame erchler numashkin. Omar Rabbi Yossi, what the heck? What's this business of being in touch with yourself? What is this new age nonsense? What did it touch? Show me what it touched. Go ahead. I want to see yourself. Show me yourself. Ha! You can't show me yourself. And therefore, you never were in touch with yourself. And therefore, if that, what is the real reason behind Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yossi says, look, touching yourself is not an existential issue, it's a physical issue. And the problem is that the only contact that this sheet has with its new self, which is the curtain, is the fact that it's the same material, right? But that material is called Beit HaStarim, because that's not an exposed surface, and only exposed surfaces are nogea in tuma. If you'd have an unexposed surface, so then it's not going to transfer tuma. So this cannot be called touching itself. I used to drive my kids crazy when they would always say something about themselves. You know, show me yourself. What self? Where self? It was very disturbing. Anyway, so the same thing is true over here, Tainiz Rabbi Yossi. There would only be one way. Now here we get to the issue. There would only be one way that this curtain could actually be Tamei Maga Midrash, or the equivalent, that it should be Metame Adam Vekelem. And that would be if the Zav touches it. So then, besides the Tumah of Midrash that it had, it also had the Tumah of Maga Zav. And a Maga Zav would be Metame Ochlin Umashkin. And that, obviously, it wouldn't lose just because you turned it from a sheet into a curtain. So although it lost its Tumas Midrash, it still maintains its original Tumah of Maga Zav. Now, I'm assuming that what happened over here is that it doesn't really matter. You just said if it's Tumah Maga Zav. Okay, so then that means it doesn't matter whether first the Zav lies down on it, and there's no actual contact with it. He's just lying down on it with his pajamas or something, and that would only be metame in the event that it's midrash, right? Then it doesn't matter how many pairs of pajamas or how many other mattresses are between it. It would still be metame with midrash. And afterwards, he then touches it with his bare hands as he's getting out of bed, let's say, right? So then, it would mean that it had the tumah of Maga Zav besides the tumah of Midras. But how could a Maga Zav add any tumah to something which was already Tamei Midras? If you would say it's Sova La Tuma, it's full to the brim of tumah, you can't add anything because a Maga Zav doesn't in any way add to a Tumas Midras, which is more chomor. So you see from here, since we don't specify whether the Zav touched it first or the Zav touched it after lying on it, that the Zav could still be Metame, the Maga Zav, something that was exceedingly Tame, because it was already Midras. Wow. So there's your Raya. Therefore, it must be, you see from here, that Afilu Besof, even if the Zav touched it after lying on it, but if you're going to say Sovale Tuma, then how could he have added Maga Zav to something that was already Tame as Midras? We should say Sovale Tuma. It's already full to the brim with Tumah, and you can't add any more. So I don't understand. It's a Beferish omission, as far as I can see, in Kalim, that you do not say Sovale Tumah. Ah, come on, says Rav. I mean, what makes you say that the Zav touched it after he was Metame at Midras? Maybe it's the other way around. Umimai dahaishi im dagabah Zav means after it became Midras, do be Midras. First, it was a Tumah Kala. And then you lie down on it and made it into Midras. Well, obviously over there, you're not going to say Sovale Tuma because there was plenty of room to add new Tuma to the old Tuma. So that is initially, there was a Tuma of Kala, which was the Maga Zav, and then he lied down on it, and that became a Tuma Chamura that was added to the Tuma Kala. Masha'en ken, in this case, where we have our Esronot to the Mincha separated, and they're both being touched by the same Tuma Kala, I mean, there's no room for more Tuma. And therefore, there's no way to learn from this Mishnah. All right, says Abaye. You don't like this part of the Mishnah? I'll bring you another part. It's a little sneaky because this next part doesn't really come in the Mishnah, but all right. He's calling it the Seif. I don't know why. Elami Seif. So let's take a look at the next part. But of course, Rabbi Yossi would be Moda that if you've got two sheets that are folded one on top of the other, and now a Zav sits down on the laundry. Okay, now all of these sheets are roi for midras. The Zav actually sits down on the top. So what happens? All of the sheets, obviously, in the old princess and the pea scenario, all of the sheets become Tamei Midras, right? But besides the Tumas Midras, the lower sheets come into contact with something that was Midras, right? So let's imagine how this Midras goes. The top sheet is immediately affected by the yeshiva of the Zav, becomes Midras. It then is metame the sheet below it with Maga Midras, which then is spread to as actual Midras. So what we're doing is we're taking something that is simultaneously obviously happening, but we're splitting that, we're parsing time into the separate issues. So we have the first, this concept of the Midras. So we look at that top sheet. And then we've got our bottom sheet, which now is not only Tomei Midras, but it's also Tomei because it touched the top sheet. And therefore, it is Maga Midras, right? So it says over there, the Elyon is Tomei Midras, and the Tachton is not only Tomei Midras, it's also Tomei Maga Midras. Now, how can it be Tomei with Maga Midras? And the Nafkamina would be, gentlemen, what? If you turn the bottom sheet into a curtain. If you turn the bottom sheet into a curtain, it's no longer Mekabel Tumas Midras. But it's certainly any kli, even a curtain, can be Mekabel Tumas Maga Midras if it touches a Midras. And therefore, it would still be Metame Adam Vekalim. But the question is, why is this true? Since that bottom sheet itself is Tumas Midras, how could it possibly be affected with the lesser issue of Maga Midras? We should say, look, it's already full to the brim of Tuma, and the Maga Midras is irrelevant. So Lema Savale Tuma. And Rava answers the obvious answer. Over there, everything is happening simultaneously. My question about whether something is full to the brim of Tuma is obviously dependent in the chronology. First, it had that Tuma. Now it's filled with that Tuma. And then one plank second later, it's affected by another Tuma. But in this case, there was no time whatsoever between the two. The instant it became a Midras, it also became a Maga Midras. And therefore, you can't say Savale Tuma when things are happening simultaneously. So therefore, no Raya from this case. Now, another thing that I want to tell you, says Rava, about a mincha that was split into two. So we had the two esronot, we split them up, yisaron shechilko, one of them ends up getting lost. So, that's not a problem. I mean, yes, it's a mincha shechaser, but as we learned early, you can just simply go home, bring another chatzi yisaron, add it to this yisaron, and now your mincha will be fine. So mincha shechaser doesn't have a problem of simply, according to anybody, if you can haven't done anything to it yet, you could certainly refill it. We did have a machlokas about whether it was chaser ben kmitza lahaktara, but over here it was chaser before the kmitza, so what's the problem? Just add to it, and now you got a new mincha. So in that case, where one of them was lost, so okay, the guy went home, and he brings another chatzi isaron. So now that chatzi isaron is going to be mashlim, the original mincha, let's call the piece that hasn't been lost piece A, the piece that was lost piece B. Of course, we say piece is really a piece. It's a piece of dough, but it's not a solid piece. So we'll call that piece B. And now the new mixture that he's bringing from home, that's called piece C, which is what actually Bill Gates had been building on. And that was the entire Lushan that came from our Masechet, of course. So now PC is now connected to piece A, right? Okay. But what happened is that meanwhile, you find the other one. So now you find piece B, which was the lost piece. Now you've got three pieces, Munach and Bekisa. So now you've got three half esronot sitting in this same Bisa. If the one that had been lost, piece B, becomes tummy. Now they're all inside of the same container and somebody touches piece B. What is the kli mitzaref in this case? Well, the kli would be mitzaref, actually, the piece B with the piece A, but it would not be mitzaref the piece C because of the fact that that never had been associated in any way. It was always set aside. In this case, the piece B was always meant to be brought with the piece A, and then when it got lost, it never was around to be mitzuraf with that. The B was never mitzuraf with the new piece, right? So the new piece, PC, which is called the mufrash, that's not going to be part of what's in this kli because it was never associated with them at any time. Now, let's say piece C, which was the mufrash, in the place of piece B, it became tame. What had it been connected to? It had always only been connected to piece A because it took the place of piece B. It was not connected with piece C, and therefore only piece B and piece A would become affected by the tzir of kli because they are the only ones that relate to each other. But what about in a case where the, in that case, ovud ein mitzarif, piece B that had been lost is not mitzarif. But if the first piece, piece A, became stame, piece A related both to piece B when they originally were sitting there expecting to live happily ever after in that bisa, and now when the new one, the mufrash, was put in instead, piece A already made its peace with the second marriage. So now we've got piece A, piece B, piece C, at peace in this bisa, and therefore all of them should be mitzuraf if one, in this case the Rishon, which was friendly to both piece B and PC, if it becomes tame, all of the other pieces should also become tame. That's my feeling about this, says Rava. Says Abaye, I disagree. I say that when everybody's living together in the same broom closet, you're basically, you learn to get along, you know what I mean? So therefore, afilu nitma echad meyem, I say in any of these cases, shneyem mitzarfim. Why? Kulu b'nei bikta da'adarininu. They're all living in the same broom closet. I mean, you can't start making different lives over here and say that the only ones that are at peace are piece A with the mufrash or piece A with the avod. That doesn't make any sense. They're part of the same mincha, and therefore this bisa is mitzarif all of them. That's my opinion. Okay, furthermore, says Rava, the same issue, as far as I'm concerned, affects the kmitza. So now, you've got the same situation. They're all sitting there, the separate pieces in the bisa, which are the lost piece, piece B, which has now been found, and the piece C, which is now feeling rather unnecessary, and then piece A, which was always there, and now you take komets from one of the pieces relying on tzir of kli. Now, what does that komets matir? Ah, so if you did your kmitza from the lost piece, piece B, then it meant that you can eat that shirayim, its own shirayim that you took the komets out of, that means the avud. And since the avud was connected initially to piece A, the rest of piece A can also be eaten. But the piece C, that cannot be eaten because it was never connected to the piece B, which was lost. Same idea. If you took the kmitza from the piece that was mufrash, that was piece C, then you can eat its shirayim, and you can eat the shirayim that were called piece A, because those are the parts that were related to each other, and the kmitza affected to both of them. But you cannot eat any of the shirayim of piece B, because piece B was never connected of the mufrash. It was never there at the same time as PC. PC came to take its place. I mean, when someone comes to take your place, you're not exactly positively inclined, you know? And if you took the komets from piece A, then you can't eat either of the other ones, because in that case, you would end up having a kmitza on three chatzi esronot. Well, how can you eat any of them? The kmitza is only kosher to be matir one isaron. And in this case, we have no idea. I mean, why would we be ma'adif one of the chatzi esronot over the other chatzi isaron? They're both related to the Rishon. So if I can't pinpoint which one the komets is coming to be matir, then I can't eat either the one that was lost or the one that was mufresh in its place. I can only eat the first one. Says Abaye, I disagree in this case as well. When you live together in a broom closet, you're basically affecting everything, and therefore none of them can be eaten. Because in no matter which one you did the comets from, you can't pinpoint the Shirayim that were affected in the other two. Now, this is a logical extension of what I said before about what the din is of being affected by the combination of the Tzir of Kli. Therefore, I say, afilu kamatz echad mehem, neither of them can be eaten. Why? Because they all live in the same room closet. Kulu nami b'nei bikta da hadadininu. They're all living, by the way, you'll remember the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara looks at the etymology of some of these words. So a bikta, literally a bikta means like this little tiny hut. And the Gemara says over there, why is it called bikta? Because it's be'akta. It's a place where nobody's comfortable. So that's why I'm calling it over here a broom closet. That's the point, that everybody's smushed together. So Rav Papa did not understand how you make the psak that you can't eat any of the others. You can't eat it either. Because how can you eat its own shirayim? Let's say you took the comets from piece A. How can you even eat the shirayim of piece A? A kometz has got to be brought on a particular mincha that is actually being brought as one isaron. That's a given. If you've got more than that, and it's not a kosher mincha. In this case, you have an additional third that you're extending the kometz's influence over because you're saying, actually, it affects all three. But if it affects all three, then none of them are kosher. Because you've got a third of a kometz, which isn't kosher, because it was being nikmatz on an additional chatzi isaron. If you split that third that isn't kosher between the two pieces that you have in front of you, so a sixth of it isn't kosher in each piece, but whatever, but you can't eat any of it, because you've got a non-kosher kometz. There's another gears that has shlish and adanka, but it's the same idea. So you shouldn't be able to eat any of it. Ha'ika danka the comets to lo karim. You got 1/6 of a comets that actually hasn't worked because it was on a piece that is not able to be kamutz. Matki flor of Yitzchak bereder mesharsha. I got a bigger problem. How can you even bring this comets on the mizbeach? 1/3 of this comets is chulin because it's going to be referring to an additional 1/3 of an Isaron, which the Torah never allowed you to take a kometz on, and therefore the kometz itself is possible. Forget about the question of which of the Shirayim can be eaten. You can't put the kometz on the Mizbeach in the first place to be matir anything. So I don't understand what assumptions are we making here that could possibly have led us to such a conclusion that the kometz is okay, and it was a kosher akrava, and actually, definitely, its own Shirayim. The whole thing makes no sense. The comments makes no sense. Says Rav Ashi, I'll tell you why we're making the assumption that the comments is kosher and that the shirayim of the comments proper is kosher. It's because actually, it's not as if a comments happens by itself. I mean, a kohen has got to do the comments, right? So that is a function of what the Kohen is thinking. So Kometz bedaita the Kohen talya milta. The Kometz is the Kohen's focus on taking out this kmitza for this mincha. Now, whatever it is that the Kohen has in mind as being this mincha is going to be, in this case, according at least to me, also they're all interrelated. If we're talking about the Rishon, then everybody agrees they're interrelated. So the Kohen would have a right to determine what the mincha is in his brain, you know? So to me, I'm taking this kometz for a mincha. I am definitely not taking it for two separate other esronot of a 1.5 esron mincha. Of course not. So therefore, in the mind of the Kohen, this has been defined as one particular mincha. Now, I mean, obviously we can't ascertain particularly what that was, but it's not as if the kometz was scattered over three esronot. The Kohen never had in mind three Esronot. Therefore, the Kometz itself is Vadai okay. And also, the Shirayim of the piece out of which the Kometz was taken is Vadai okay. The only questions that we might have would relate to the other two pieces, and it's there that we've got this discussion between Rava and Abaye. And that concludes our daf for the day. And today, because we actually had so much about Tful Yom, Richie is completely turned on again. He's thinking about, good heavens, Tful Yom was so much fun. How can I miss out on Yadayim? And therefore, as we turn to Yadayim today.
Easy. No problem.
We can expect some very special help and introductions from our leader.
And by the way, Rabbi, after this year, I'm never going to eat any mincha from a komet ever because I don't trust it.
That's because you know Barnea too well.
I never will eat from a komets of a mincha. That's for sure.
That's good because it's
Tful Yom or not.
Val taktiro mimenu. So yeah. That's a good thing.
Anyway, I gotta go to sleep.
All right, cut out it, old man. Cut out your meanderings. Will you go back to your rocking chair? All right. So here we are, turning off this recording.